Wham! Bam! Body slam! You're listening to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, right here on JitteryMonkey.com. Now here's your host, Kevin Huntsperger.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in once again to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. This is episode 2 right here on JitteryMonkey.com. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you downloading and listening and hopefully sharing this with friends and leaving comments and, you know, criticisms, compliments, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do. I'm open to any kind of discussion y'all want to have in the world of professional wrestling. I want to thank the folks at JitteryMonkey.com for inviting me to bring my 1-2-3 cents to their wonderful website and to their podcasting network, my123cents.com. You can check it out and read about all kinds of things wrestling related and beyond, and also youtube.com/my123cents. You'll also find some videos and different things going on in the world of professional wrestling. I'm going to talk about a couple of different things this week, specifically the tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs pay-per-view, which we just saw on WWE Network for the low, low price of $9.99. Sorry, I had to throw that in as well. Also want to touch on and probably spend a little more time talking about NXT TakeOver R Evolution, an amazing show. And I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. I'm going to talk first, though, more about tables, ladders, and chairs. And I would say the first half of the event really held up to me. It stood up to my expectations. Actually, I say the first half. Overall, I thought it was a really high-paced, fast-paced show with a lot of interesting angles, a lot of interesting matches. I mentioned in the last show that I'm not much for these specialty types of matches, these specialty types of pay-per-views. But I thought WWE and the superstars and the divas, the men and women that get in the ring and actually do this for a living, really put on an amazing show. Maybe I'm overusing the word amazing, but I did think that it was better than my expectations, I'll put it that way. You know, there were some disappointments, of course, but I think that we're going to find that with pretty much anything in the world of professional wrestling. Sometimes we as fans get our expectations so high, and then when the company or the performers don't deliver to what we want, we tend to criticize. And I'm trying to keep my 1-2-3 cents a positive podcast, so I'm not going to be overly critical of the things that I saw watching the show. And of course, for those who don't know, my other job, my real job, I guess, my actual job is a journalist. I am an early morning news anchor, so I get up at 1:30 in the morning. So I'm not able to sit and watch an entire show, whether it's Raw or a pay-per-view. So I watch usually for about 90 minutes, and then I go to bed, and I get up and go to work, and then come home and watch the rest of the show. That's exactly what I did with TLC, I guess TLCS, if they're going to keep the stairs, which I hope they don't. We'll touch on that in just a second. I got to say, though, that the opening match, Dolph Ziggler versus Luke Harper for the Intercontinental title, of course, a ladder match. You know, whenever anyone tells me that wrestling is fake or, oh, it's phony or it's staged or whatever they want to say about it, I'm going to refer them to this match, because if you watch this, you saw throughout the brutality involved in this ladder match. Probably one of the more brutal ladder matches I've ever seen. Dolph Ziggler's body just beaten. He had welts and cuts and abrasions everywhere. At one point, it looked like Luke Harper might have broken his arm when he dove through the ropes. A very intense physical match, a great way to open this show. If you know that's the kind of hook you're looking for, why not have such a high-paced physical confrontation between two guys who are, in my opinion, still and no pun intended, climbing the ladder to success? Dolph Ziggler, it seems like the company is back behind him again. He's kind of fluctuated and gone up and down and in status and stature with the WWE, and I'm hoping that, you know, this puts a little more shine on him and on the Intercontinental Championship, because let's face it, with Brock Lesnar still being the World Heavyweight Champion and we're not seeing him on a regular basis, Dolph Ziggler and Rusev should be the two next best things for fans. So this match was stellar, off the charts, brutal, physical. I can't throw enough positive adjectives out there at this one. So I was impressed, and I'm glad that Dolph Ziggler is once again the Intercontinental Champion. Miz and Mizdow lost by disqualification to the Usos in a rematch for the Tag Team Championships. No big surprise there. I would imagine this storyline will continue on, especially with The Miz kind of hitting on Naomi, who is, and I apologize, one of the Usos' wives. The Big Show and Eric Rowan in that stairs match that Michael Cole kept screwing up. I don't know why he kept calling it chairs, but he for several times he kept calling it chairs instead of stairs. This match was what it was. I was mildly surprised to see the Big Show win. The fans, though, seemed dead throughout, and I'm not going to be overly critical of the match. We'll have to wait and see kind of what goes on and how they develop Eric Rowan as a character down the road here. John Cena beating Seth Rollins, and I know a lot of people were upset about this. I liked the unclear finish at one point when both men, and this was timed out perfectly, when they both fell through that table. And you weren't sure exactly what they were going to do. One referee called Rollins the winner. The other referee called Cena the winner. The referee officiating, who had been knocked out, of course, made the final call that this match will continue. It did, to only see the Big Show come out. I thought maybe they were going to have him cost Cena the match and then further develop a Big Show-Cena feud, which I don't really care to see again. Roman Reigns makes the save, much to the delight of the fans who, if the Superstar of the Year, if the Slammy voting was legitimate, Roman Reigns recently named Superstar of the Year, this is what I'm guessing the WWE Universe wants to see, Roman Reigns. And I said last year on our From the Raptors radio podcast, which is kind of out of the loop right now, but I had said last year at the end of the year that 2014 would be the year of Roman Reigns. I thought he would have won the championship by now, but I am liking his development. I do think he still has a ways to go. It'll be interesting to see. A lot of people already betting that he's going to win the Royal Rumble and go on to WrestleMania. I'm not going to put the cart before the horse just yet. I'll talk all about that as it gets closer. But Roman Reigns right now, back in WWE, recovering from that hernia surgery, looked good as well. Nikki beats AJ, pins her with a little help from a spray bottle. No big surprise there. Ryback and Kane, again, this match was what it was. A couple of guys beating the hell out of each other with chairs. Rusev defeats Jack Swagger, and please, let's put this one to bed. I want to see Rusev get some new competition, some new blood, some fresh blood out there, and I really hope that they're not continuing to put him over and build him up only to have John Cena take him down, which has been some speculation I have heard about as well. But Rusev continues to be that dominant, strong heel. He is the United States champion, and kind of throws fuel on the fire, waving the Russian flag on top of all that. Ambrose and Wyatt, again, this one off the charts. It was the main event. Some people surprised by it. I wasn't overly surprised by it because, with the exception of just a couple of the TLC pay-per-views, the TLC tables, ladders, chairs match has closed the show. It has been the main event. Now, the interesting thing here, and if for history buffs, it was 2010, it was Barrett and Cena in a chairs match, and in 2012, it was Cena, Ziggler in a ladder match for that Money in the Bank briefcase that Ziggler had put on the line. But the interesting thing here is there were no stipulations. There was nothing on the line in this TLC match, which was a first. There's always been some sort of stipulation, whether it's a championship or an opportunity or something going on with the main event of TLC. And Ambrose and Wyatt really tore it up. Those two, are crazy, for lack of a better term. The physicality of that match, too, I think trumped, obviously, Ziggler and Harper, at least to an extent. They threw everything at each other, and I think if they would have had a kitchen sink out there, they would have done that. It was interesting, though, the show ended with Wyatt winning, and then there was nothing to kind of hook you in to bring you into Raw tonight. So it'll be interesting. I say tonight, I shouldn't say tonight. I'm not dating this, but this podcast is airing before Raw. So anything that happens beyond Raw and you're listening to this, my apologies. But it'll be interesting to see, storyline-wise, where they go from here. Now, that was TLC, and again, I would give the show, if I were giving it a grade, and I, again, I'm not big on the specialty matches or these kind of gimmicky matches, I would give it overall a B. I didn't hate the show. There was, you know, with the exception of the Big Show Rowan match, which kind of plodded along to me, and tired of the Rusev swagger formula, you know, I thought it was a solid show. It delivered, and there were some great spots. Now, what I really want to talk about, and I'm not going to waste too much of your time talking about NXT, but to me, NXT is such a breath of fresh air, and it's new, it's different, and maybe that's why it's so appealing to a lot of fans. It's got that different feel to it. You're not seeing the same superstars week in and week out that you see on Raw. It doesn't have that same formula of let's start with a 20-minute in-ring promo, and let's do this, and have this evil authority figure do this, and screw this guy over, yada, yada, yada. You know, the R-Evolution, it was kind of it's got that pay-per-view feel. It's a special event. I know it's not a pay-per-view per se, but it, to me, it's the equivalent of, and it really, they built it up. They did a nice job with Kevin Owens, who, of course, with Ring of Honor, and the indie scene was Kevin Steen. And I've had the opportunity to see Kevin wrestle a couple of times. I actually saw him at Walt Disney World when I was there in the fall, too, but that's another story. But he's one of those guys that breaks that mold. He's not your cookie-cutter superstar, if you will. And to me, you know, that brawler, tough guy, I see him going pretty far in WWE once he does get called up to the main roster. I can't wait to see him kind of do his thing and do what he does best on NXT. And I think that that's the benefit of NXT is guys have a chance to shine and they don't get sent up to the roster, the main roster, and get kind of lost in that shuffle. And we talked a little bit about that last time. The Lucha Dragons over the Vaudevillians. Vaudevillains, who really, I enjoy that tag team. I kind of thought we would see new champs crowned, but I'll be curious to see where they go with that. Baron Corbin continuing his streak as kind of a monster type with a, 35-second victory, it looked like, or so. Finn Balor and Hideo Itami over the Ascension. And the Ascension, rumors are that they're heading up to the main roster. I like that tag team wrestling still kind of matters at NXT, so I kind of hope that the Ascension stays there for a bit. Charlotte, an outstanding diva. She is the daughter, of course, of Nature Boy Ric Flair, and her and Sasha Banks had a really great match. I was glad to see them give the women a little extra time, to actually have a match and tell a story. And Charlotte, to me, you know, a lot of people have talked about who should be called up next. I think that she definitely has all the goods to go up to the main roster. I know she had that match with Natalya a couple weeks ago on Raw, came up short, but I really think that she, if she stays away from the Total Divas show, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Total Divas, but I think for her to shine and succeed, I like how they keep some of the divas off of that show, like AJ Lee, and some of the others. So to me, Charlotte is really maybe one of the best overall divas or female wrestlers that I've seen in a very, very long time. You know, Beth Phoenix, Natalya, Tamina, those types of wrestlers, and I'll call them wrestlers. The diva term, I understand why they do it, and I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing or a good thing, but I think that Charlotte will shine. And whether she's got Nature Boy Ric Flair, you know, kind of in the wings waiting for her or not, I do think that she will excel and kind of break out from under that shadow as well. Everybody still refers to her, of course, as the Nature Boy's daughter, which makes sense. I want to focus a little bit more here on Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville. These two guys, on a personal level, I met them almost 3 years ago at a All-American Pro Wrestling event in Marion, Illinois. I was doing color commentary and actually wrestled on that card as well, but that's not what this is about. Just the opportunity to meet and I should say it was El Generico versus Pac. The opportunity to meet those two and talk with them backstage before the event and even after the event, and see the way that they kind of took other members of the AAPW locker room under their wing, and gave them some guidance and feedback and before the show even started. You know, it was a great feeling. It was a great experience. And this match, by the way, is on the My123Cents website, my123cents.com. My friend Chris Hagstrom, who was the executive producer and promoter for All American Pro Wrestling at the time, has this on his YouTube page, and I think it's Chris Hagstrom Productions on YouTube, but the link is on my123cents.com. Check it out. It's a great match. I'm doing commentary. I've never watched the match back because I'm afraid that my commentary, you know, I'd never seen action quite like that before, so I wasn't sure how to call it. And, you know, these two guys tore the roof off of that little, for lack of a better word, arena. 405 people is our biggest crowd ever, and I think in part due to the fact that these two international superstars were on our show. And, you know, these guys delivered back then. They have continued to deliver. They were delivering before that match. They have, you know, on NXT, several times they've been at it, and at TakeOver Our Evolution, you know, this time Sami Zayn prevailed. I was hoping Adrian Neville would win, but Sami Zayn is a great guy, a class act, a true, you know, has superstar written all over him as well, and it's just a matter of time before both of these guys get called up to the WWE main roster. And again, I hope that they are very careful in the calling up of these guys, and they don't get lost in the shuffle, as we've seen happen with some of the guys from NXT or FCW, the previous administration, if you will. Kevin Owens making, for lack of a better word, an impact on the NXT universe by attacking Sami Zayn after the victory. Of course, it's well documented, the history between Steen and Generico, so it makes sense that this is kind of translating into the NXT world. And that's the beauty too of NXT, is these young guys who have had an opportunity to shine on the independent level are getting to shine in the WWE, and still without the gimmicks have changed a bit, the names have changed, but the quality of wrestling is still there, and that, at the end of the day, I think, is what fans tune in for. Yes, it's sports entertainment now, but at the end of the day, it is still wrestling, and that is why most of us are there. We're not there for comedy skits or backstage vignettes or silly things going on in the ring. We want to see two guys step into the ring, two women step into the ring, lock up, and give us a quality wrestling match. It's what brought me to the dance more than 30 years ago, and I think it's what will continue to bring me to the dance. So, again, Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn, to me, two of the standouts on NXT, probably the two best guys on NXT. I don't know a lot about the history of some of these guys, as I'm kind of new to independent wrestling. I've been around it for a few years, but I'm still learning a lot about it. And with NXT now and getting some of these guys like Finn Balor and Baron Corbin and Kevin Owens, getting to learn more about him, I'm excited. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. It's a great time to be a WWE fan. And I know not everybody feels that way, and sometimes things don't seem to make sense. But if we stay the course, I think things will all make sense down the road, just kind of like last year with that slow burn with Daniel Bryan eventually paying off at WrestleMania. So only time will tell. Fans, thank you so much for listening, tuning into My123Cents, whether it's My123Cents.com or on YouTube at My123Cents on Twitter. You can also find me at Kevin Huntsberger on Twitter. Thanks so much for the support, and thanks for listening here at JitteryMonkey.com. Don't forget to share this link with your family and friends, and spread the word about My123Cents and JitteryMonkey.com. Thanks, everyone.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to JitteryMonkey.com.